Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord. All right, so we're going to get going today here. And I'm going to start in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 8 through 9. And then we're going to see what we get in here today. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 8 through 9. All right, so we're going to begin reading at verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you again for the opportunity just to come into your house. We thank you that you've allowed us to praise you and to worship you and that you've opened our eyes to the truth concerning who you are. We pray and ask today that by your Spirit, that we might hear what the Spirit is saying to us as members of this local assembly and as to your church as a whole. Father, we thank you for all that has happened thus far and that you would bless us through your word. We ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, today I want to do a message that I'm simply entitling Faith Wars. Faith Wars. And my thesis, or where I'm hoping I'm going to get when we get to the end of this, and that's so if I stay on track, is that we're called to be watchful and to keep awake because our adversary is on the prowl. We're called to be watchful and to stay awake because our adversary is on the prowl. Now, I may have given this scripture to him in the back. But in Romans chapter 1, I want to look at a couple scriptures that I just want to say before I launch into what I'm trying to do here today. There's so much that's going on out here in the world, and a lot of people have a lot of things to say, and there seems to be a lot of confusion and all this other stuff going on. But the Bible says that Jesus said, "I came that you might know the truth and come to know the one true God and Jesus Christ who he sent." John said that if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the one sent by God, then you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The Bible explains so easily much of what we see occurring at any given point in time. In Romans 20, verse 1, 20 through 25, I just want to read this and think about what is happening even today. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 4, God says this, "I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I delighted not." And then finally, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, the Bible tells us this, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, the Bible then basically explains to us, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth will make you free. So there's no reason to look out and wonder what's going on. What's going on is that people have changed the truth of God into a lie. They've made a decision that they're not going to worship the God that's been revealed by what they see. God says plainly, it's been revealed to you by what's been created. And if you were to just look at what's been created, you can see God's handiwork in it. And there should be no question as to how it works. Who has babies and who does this and all that, and no question what body parts go with what. There's no question about that. But if you change the truth into a lie, then delusion will come and God says, I will allow you to be taken by whatever it is you choose to believe. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I showed myself, you chose something different. So therefore, have your way. But understand, eventually, you'll have to deal with me. So it's not my job. If it is anything, my job is to make sure we understand what we need to be doing during these types of times, if you will. If you look, the Bible is so clear that it says we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, is prowling about looking how he can devour us. So the question is, how does he get us devoured versus all the people who give in to the delusions? Now, we're not even worrying about that. We want to make sure that what we don't get taken over by untruth. So that the scriptures are here to teach us just the truth. I want you to see something in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 through 12 is where, like I said before once, many times people will say, you know, you see this on the tombstones and all this stuff, and the question is, did it really happen? You know, this is what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we could carry nothing out. Now, if you just stop long enough and watch people, you would say that can't be true. This can't be true. You know, the Bible tells you, you know, you did not bring anything in, and it's certain you can't take nothing with you. But people spend so much time gathering up a bunch of things. And they said, if you look in America, you know we have moved into even a deeper misunderstanding of this, because the biggest growing business in America today is storage supply places, a place to store your stuff. I got too much stuff. What size storeroom I can get? I need a 5x10, a 10x20. My house ain't big enough anymore to store my stuff, so I got to take it somewhere and store it. For who? For what? What are you storing it for? I mean, if it stays in there too long, your children are not going to be able to use it because it's going to dry rot most of the time. I mean, so what are you doing? There's something about the inability to throw something away. We just can't do it. It's like, you know what? I might need this tool. I might need this bag. I might need this basket. And I can't do it. Now, and you know, this is how it works, right? It's like Murphy's Law, right? The one thing you throw away, that's the one thing you needed. Sure enough, that's the one thing you find you needed. But all the rest of that stuff, you ain't touched. But that one thing now justifies keeping all the rest of this, even though that one thing you could go to Home Depot and get it for $5. But the reality is you had one. So from now on, I ain't never gonna throw them away. I know what I'm talking about. Look, I'm preaching from experience here, okay? The bottom line is that it is amazing how we can just store these things up. I got little containers in my garage with things in them, and they come a point, I forgot what's in them. Now, I've gotten a little better, I'll type it out. Yet still, when it's over, I still forget to go check. And sometimes I'm at the store, I go ahead and buy it because I'm like, I just don't know if I got it, so let me go ahead and get it. Then I know I got it, and I can't find it. That's when it's more frustrating. I know I got a can of red spray paint, I'm telling y'all, somewhere. But I needed it the other day to spray something on the ground, so I just went on and bought another can. I know I got one. As many cans of red spray paint, I got one. And it'll come up eventually. All right? But come on now. See, God makes it plain to me. He says, look, it's certain you can't take anything out. The best thing to do if you really want to learn to be content is to start learning how to just kind of let it go, right? But it's hard. So I'm not sitting here telling you, you know, something that you don't know. But the thing is for us to recognize that God is saying these are the subtle areas where the enemy starts trying to prowl and take over our mind and our life, concerning ourselves with our abundance of things and what we're going to do with them and how we're going to keep them and what we're going to do to protect them and how we're going to this. And no, not a flood coming, so I got to figure out how to barricade the storeroom that I don't ever go in. You know, and I'm spending a lot of time on these kinds of things. So then he goes on, he says in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be content. But they that'll be rich fall into temptation, a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they've erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So Paul then is saying that in fighting this good fight, there's something connected to us coming to an understanding that we can't take none of this stuff with us. That if we get it down to where we finally understand it this way, it frees us more to believe God. Frees us more to be attached to where we're going versus where we are. So I don't understand all of it, but he also says that to the extent we don't get it, we start pursuing more. Yeah, he says, you know, I need you to learn how to be content if God has blessed us with the basics. Now this doesn't mean you don't want to do better. Now, we ain't here to preach that, but what we're preaching is in our pursuit of better, we ain't pursuing better. We pursue God and we let him do whatever he's doing in our lives. We pursue better understanding of God. We pursue better understanding of our Father. We pursue better understanding of our relationship with God, because ultimately that's what's going to count. You know, you're going to be standing in front of God. I told you a couple weeks ago, you're doing your interview. And, you know, depending on what it is you're trying to get from him, you know, you got to come big. You're going to have to come big. God, my life wasn't tied up in that storeroom. My life wasn't tied up in those things. My life was tied up in knowing and understanding how and who you are and what you would have desired me to do, just like Sister Miranda was talking about today, establishing your thoughts on Christ. And we didn't coordinate that. But the Holy Spirit is one. God knows what he wants to do, what he wants to communicate to us, and how he wants us to grow. So we're not so concerned about what's going on in the street. God plainly said, what you mean you don't understand? This what happened. There's a strong delusion going on. So, you know, that's the end of that. You turn the page and keep going. I mean, there's some things that just ought not be confusing. When I was growing up, and I said that, I mean, the Louisiana Civil Code used to say in it that marriage was a union between a man and a woman. That's what it used to say. And people used to make fun of the Civil Code. And they would say, that's ridiculous. Why would that even be in there? Everybody knows that. That's what they would say all the time. And the thing is that it went all the way back to the inception of how the Romans and the French wrote their laws. They started off with the most basic concept, and they built on that concept. All right, so they would start off with what marriage was. And then people said, we already know that. And then they started moving to stuff that maybe you ain't know so much about. Like you can't marry your first cousin. I know she cute, but you can't. You can't marry your sister. I know you like her, but you can't. You can't marry another person of the same sex. You know, all that was in there. And nobody thought anything about it. Everybody was like, yeah. But today we have this whole new revelation that done come on, you know, these things. The World Health Organization has just announced that, you know, gender is on a spectrum. So now we say in the beginning, God created a spectrum. My Lord. Yeah, started over here and it ends over there, and we don't know where it ends. Matter of fact, you can flow back and forward between the spectrums. You see, we don't have time to waste on that discussion. We need to be talking about the things that's going to mess us up. All right, because a delusion ain't in your face right now. What's in your face is your storeroom. You know, you got too much stuff. You know, you're spending too much time maybe trying to get a bigger house. I ain't saying you shouldn't. I'm listening to the pastor. I ain't here to hate on you. But I'm saying some people don't know when they got enough. You know, is it big enough yet? Is the car new enough yet? Do you need another one? Do you need more clothes? Do you need more shoes? They say the best thing to do when you want to start talking about what you need is that for everything that comes in, something needs to go out. Do you know how hard it started to become for me when I started trying that? You know how you want to keep them old tennis? You got to have them to cut the grass. Yeah, you know, you buy a pair of tennis that you was running in. You can't run in them no more, but you just can't seem to quite let them go. I know, I'll cut grass in them. And so before you know it, you got 5, 6, 7 pair of tennis shoes and your new pair because you just can't let them go. You ain't going to wear them nowhere else now because you know they look bad that you can't wear them, but you just can't throw them away. You know you shouldn't take them to the thrifty place because they're going to throw them away for you. You know that's how bad they are, right? Because we're going to wear them that bad. But we ain't going to throw them away. So I finally got to where I would just, this is it, walk outside in the dumpster. But it was so hard. Need another pair of jeans. You know, these are all full of paint. You've been painting and stuff. They just, you can't wear them nowhere, really. Even painting in them look crazy. If people were to come up, you're like, you need to get rid of them. You buy another pair. But, you know, maybe, just maybe, you could use them for something. So you fold them up and you put them in that little container called work clothes. And you know the ones, husbands know the work clothes bins because they wear their regular clothes that they ain't supposed to work in to work most of the time. The other day I was going out somewhere, Sister Lord said, isn't that your good shirt? I was like, no. Well, in my world, you know, probably none of my shirts good, right? So you got them all on, you out working in the yard. Why you got that on? Just didn't think about it. Crawl up on the roof, and all of a sudden you got your suit on or something you that's not think. But that's not work clothes. Why you don't go to that bin you got marked work clothes? Go in there, take your clothes, put them on, put them dirty shoes on, and then climb up there. But well, I ain't got time, you say. Well, throw the clothes away. Fight the good fight of faith. In other words, when you pitch it, you say, God, I'm releasing this as a show of faith. One, that if I need some tennis, you're going to make sure I got some. If I need something else, you're going to make sure I got some. And I'm about to stop paying $200 a month for this rental space. Or I'm about to get my attic cleaned out. Now, some of us take pride in these things, and I get it, but I'm just saying, like me, all right? My plan is before I die, I will promise everyone, Sister Lord, my kids, I don't know. I'm praying that God will give me some sense of when, and I'll spend them last couple weeks. Because I've noticed a lot of people, unless they die suddenly, they get a couple weeks to know about it. I'll spend them a couple weeks shredding it and putting it all together and make sure it's out. But I have my tax returns back to 1981. Ain't y'all impressed? Well, I am. Yeah, I got boxes. They by this time, they're taxed all the way back to 1981. It ain't but about 4 pages. That's about all of the money I made, and the 3 pages is instructions. But I got them, you know, I say to myself. I just feel so good when I walk up in the attic and look at them 5 boxes. And they got the dates. 80 to 90 or 90 to 95, 95 to 2000 or whatever. Then now 2022, the line. You know, the little line means future, right? So that's my future box. And I take joy in that. Come on, really? Let it go. It's hard, though. It's hard. But we got to understand, these things can undermine your faith in bigger areas. Because that inability to let go can also create problems when there are some things God just wants you to let go. And sometimes we just don't know how to release it and have confidence in God. And the devil knows that we all have this tendency we have to deal with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6, and this ties a little bit into what Sister Miranda was saying this morning, talking about establishing your thoughts in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is what the Bible tells us now. Now, you got to remember the Bible. We're using the Bible. The Bible is God's word to us. But as he's speaking to us, he's giving us instructions on what's going on and what to do. And look at what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. Chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, he says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, let's stop. Think about this. So this is what God is saying to us this morning. All of us in here walking in the flesh. But God says, but your war is not in this flesh we walking around in. You need to understand it, he says. If you don't get this, then the devil will, as he's walking around looking for somebody to devour, you become a target because what? You don't understand this. You can't beat the devil in the flesh. You can't talk him out. You can't holler him out. You can't do none of that. You have to understand your warfare is different, but you're in a faith war. This is a war of faith. He knows what's going on. He understands that if you are a Christian today, and you are at any time, actually, but if you were a Christian today and you look out over the world, you would say, my God, the world is burning up. Okay, yeah, it is, but we here. We can't leave yet. You know, some people are praying, God, just rapture us out, take us, and we ain't gone yet. So did we all get left behind? I doubt it. We just got to live this thing out. We got to walk by faith. We are in a war of faith. This is a faith war. We got to believe what God is saying. God's saying, even though you're walking around in your flesh, this war ain't after the flesh. Then he goes on and he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshy or carnal, but they are mighty through God to pull down strongholds. And look at what he says we target, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity, look, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the idea then is in my life, I'm looking at the word and saying, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion looking for one of y'all. Now, you got to understand, when you go to bed, the devil don't sleep. The devil do not need sleep. Demons don't sleep. They don't go to bed. They don't, like, turn off the lights. You turned off the lights. They're like, okay, man, that's cool. Let's, you know, wait for tomorrow. That's not what happens. They'll torment you in your sleep. They will be out there around your house doing whatever it is they can do. And anybody they can crawl up in to torment you, they'll do that too. Got your phone ringing all hours of the night, and it ain't just spirits calling. No, it's spirits up in somebody calling maybe. But the point is that what? You trying to figure out why you can't never get no sleep, why you always getting this call from this one or this from that one or this from that. Why? Because the Bible says you are in a warfare. The devil is looking for someone to target. He's constant, and he got endless demons to prowl around. Now, sometimes this kind of talk troubles people. They're like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't believe in no personal demons or devils. And then he already got you before we get started. It would make no sense if there are no such thing as devils, no such thing as demons. Then we could definitely dispose quickly with the idea that men are good. Think about it. People say, well, men are basically good. Really? Well, if there ain't no demons and there ain't no devils and ain't nobody stirring it up, then men just ain't no good. Because the bottom line is, it has never been a time that you ain't had a war going on somewhere. Ain't been a time that somebody like this race car driver that just got stabbed at a gas station just trying to pump some gas. And now you some champion race car driver and got stabbed at a gas station. You know, people getting raped and robbed and mugged and all kind of stuff going on. Why? Because there ain't no demons and men just come up with this stuff in their own mind because they're all just crazy. I don't know, but either way, it sure looks like we got a problem. Okay? Because if it's all about correcting behavior, well, we better do something. Because other than that, everybody better grab them a gun. Because, you know, you never know when they're coming. But if you believe that this is a spiritual situation, as God does indicate, and that the devil is walking around like a roaring lion, and God says, I will give you ways to battle him, yet not even in the flesh. I must come to a place of believing that so that what? I can operate in it, right? I got to know this. I got to understand it. But they say what's interesting, it's like Jesus said in one place. Jesus, when the devil tempted him and said, hey, jump off the pinnacle. And Jesus said, I'm not doing that. The Bible says, don't tempt the Lord. So there's some things that God expects you, folks. We got to understand. We are living on a real planet where plants grow. Yeah, plants grow, the sun shines, and the moon comes out. Plants grow, the moon shines, okay? This happens every day. The sun rises, right? And you don't just pray and the sun don't come up, do you? You don't pray and plants don't grow, do you? Well, you don't go to the ATM in the dark and think the angel's going to stop somebody from putting a gun on you. Well, I got God. And you finna get robbed, and God gonna watch you. You got to pray, and you got to have some sense. Light projects off darkness. They did a survey of 11 criminals, the worst ones they had, who rob people and do stuff like this, and did a survey and asked them, tell us the person that you would go after the most. And you'd be surprised that old people wasn't even on the list to start. It was like, man, we ain't robbing no old person. I mean, they got like a little coat on almost. And they got a little cheering. We ain't trying to do that. That ain't cool. But guys who look tough but ain't in their mind, that's what they figure. They ain't tough. But now you're going to have to show them then. See, in other words, if you pull a gun, be prepared to use it, they say. Because most of them had declared they've taken guns from people. Pull a gun out. And they're like, I can tell the way you holding that you ain't never even used that gun. They'll snatch it away from you and shoot you with your own gun. So if you carry a gun, you need to be ready when you pull it out and don't say halt. Pull it out and you should hear pow should be the next thing come out of it. Smoke is what you ought to see coming off the end. Not all that. I'm telling you, one more step. They like, nah, that's all right. And they step right on you, snatch it out your hand. I'm like, one more step. You ain't got no step. Pow! And it's over with. They say they respect that. I bet they do. They understand they're about to have an encounter with death. And they ain't robbing you to die. They robbing you to get your money. They ain't robbing you to die. But if you coming out of there with it, you come with it. Oh, okay. Well, the devil is the same way, y'all. He the one that's got these people doing this craziness. He understands that what? Many of us pull out Jesus' name, and as soon as the devil hit us hard, we run another way. We ain't prepared to stand. And we got to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not fleshy, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down, he says, strongholds and casting down imaginations. Everything that comes into my mind that I would imagine about God that is not true, I got to throw it down. How do I do that? I got to first know. This is why I don't call nature mother. She ain't mother and she ain't father. God created everything. Ain't no mother earth. She ain't birthed nothing. This earth, God created it. I'm not assigning it no gender. Now, if you mad, I'm sorry, but it ain't. It ain't mother earth and mother nature and mother this and mother that. It ain't none of that. It's earth. God said in the beginning, he created earth. And in nature are the things that God created. God, he ain't created with any kind of gender assigned to it. But this is why the Bible says in Romans, and people fail to miss it. See, everybody in this day want to think they so smart that they don't worship these things they say. But this is why he said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, bird, four-footed beast, and creeping things. So now it's kind of like what begins to happen is, you know, you can't even the dog get more respect than some people get nowadays. People going back to rescue the dog in the hurricane. Now I know y'all gonna say, Pastor, you so That's so mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to get you to understand. If we bypass some people to go back to get the dog, something seems to be a little off with what we're doing. If we got animal rescue going while we got people drowning, it seems like something a little off to me. I'm just saying. But if we begin to elevate everything over ourselves, God says you begin to get the order confused and reversed. Nothing like having a nice family pet, I'm sure. But at least get your baby outside before you worry about where the dog is. And don't get the children so caught up in it that they would run back in the house on fire, to get the dog. I know the dog, look at y'all looking at me so much like, I can't believe he's saying this. But I'm trying to get you hardened up for the devil you're dealing with, right? Because you got to understand how God prioritizes life and what he thinks about it. These are creatures. I made these. And even if something happens, come on now, you keep teaching about dog in heaven and that ain't in the Bible and all this stuff. And even if you want to believe it is, fine, then it went to dog in heaven. Tell them I need you to come on out here because I ain't ready for you to go yet. Explain it to them at least in a way that they prioritize life correctly. Trees, I'm sorry. Yeah, they get cut down and yeah, they burn, but they don't own this planet. Fish don't own the planet. God already said, I'm giving you dominion over these things. And then God is the one who said, the rainbow that you see in the sky, it ain't about gay pride. The rainbow you see in the sky is my declaration to y'all that I will never ever again destroy this planet by water. He ain't saying nothing about fire, but water. You don't have to worry about it. So don't worry so much about your carbon footprint. Everybody's so big talking about, we need electric vehicles. And look, Texas couldn't keep the electric on with the cars they got. Now, if they was all electric cars in Texas, they would never have no electricity on over there. They said that if you had an electric car in every garage in Baton Rouge, we'd have rolling blackouts. If we all tried to plug our cars in and charge them up, we all got one, ain't no way there'd be enough electric. And how you gonna make that electric? Y'all ever figured out how they make electricity? You do know they use coal and gas, oil and all that stuff, right? So we still need to make it. Wait, electricity don't come out of the sky. Oh, we're going to make a nuclear plant. Oh, yeah, I'm sure we all want one of them in our backyard. You know, it's like people don't think. No, we'll have windmills. Right down there in Homer. Let's see what happens when the hurricane come through there with them windmills blowing. And yeah, it's going to spin real fast. And right off of there is what's going to happen. Try Cameron, Louisiana, and you're going to put some windmills up. You know, we're going to say, all this stuff is just delusion to keep us off base. As Christians, we need to focus so we don't get caught up in all the crazy and lose the fight and the war that we in. Because what we want to get when it's over is the best reward from God we can get. And you don't want to get distracted. Don't let them distract you with all this. You know, don't get distracted. Stay on point. Keep your mind focused. Cast down imaginations and don't allow your own heart to be deceived and to get into craziness. In Ephesians chapter 6, this is what we're told. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to go over there right quick. We've looked at these scriptures in the past, but Paul is so clear. I mean, we are told what's going on. Ephesians 6, look at beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not yourself, not your own power, not any of that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. So what is God telling us? He's like, look, I need y'all to understand something. I want you to get first understanding something. After everything you've read, everything you've heard, everything you've seen, finally be strong in me and in the power of my might. I got something for the devil. I already took him down. You need to hook up with my victory so that you are always consistently in the victory. Don't be trying to make it happen. It done already happened. You're supposed to know that and walk in that. That's what a faith war is about. He's trying to change your mind about God. Unfortunately, some people's mind ain't never been made up. See, I got to get in here. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. So the more I hear it and hear it, and hear it, my faith grows to where I know what God said, I know who he is, and I believe it. No matter what I see, No matter what's happening around me, he ain't gonna fool me. He ain't gonna trick me. I wouldn't care if every man walking around said he could have a baby. It's good you have one, sir, because I will not. People say, oh, pastor, you need to stay off of that. Look, I'm just saying, just making a comment. This ain't got nothing to do with anything other than just what I think is the truth. Bottom line is that I don't need to get into that discussion, but I know what I believe Jesus said. I'm pretty comfortable, so why would I change it? The Bible said Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and brought forth a son, and she called his name, what? See, some of y'all looking at, she had several, right? Cain, Abel, and Seth, right? And she had other sons and children and all these things. And then it says that when the men began to multiply and have children, the daughters of men, the angels, the sons of God, beheld these beautiful women and took as many as they liked, and they conceived and had children. Not the angels, the women. And nowhere in the Bible does it ever talk about any of that other stuff. So I just don't worry about addressing it. And I don't care. You can put a screwdriver to my head. You're not going to screw my imagination down to make it imagine even such a thing. It don't work like that. My imagination ain't loose like that because I did what the word said. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshy. I can't argue with you if you're in a delusion. How can you argue with somebody in a delusion? That's the purpose of delusion. I'm Superman. Okay, let's go see. Jump off that building. If you fly, I might give you a shot. Ain't nothing under there. You just fly. Whoa, I ain't never seen nothing like that. But we don't never get that tested. We don't never get those kind of things tested. We don't do that. You know, I can walk through fire. Good, come on. Come on, I got a place we can go right now. Let's see if you fireproof. But these other things we can always come up with. I'm a gangster. I think this is the best time for humans and for Christians, because everything we used to say, the devil used to pop us with it to show us why it wasn't true, because what? It was science. Remember, it was all about science. How you know God exists? Well, my faith. Well, can you prove that? I can't see your faith. But I'm just saying, deep down, I know I'm saved. How you know? Because I just know like I know. It's in my bones. I mean, I met Jesus, and all of a sudden, I knew I was saved. And then the Bible confirmed it, said that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. I know I'm saved. Well, Satan overplayed his hand. See, now because I meet some guy, you know, and I go up to him and I say, hey, dude. Hey, man, I ain't no dude. I'm a woman. And I say, how you, what? I say, you look like a dude. But that's not true. I'm a woman. I say, okay. How you know? Well, because I just know. From the day I was born, I felt deep down inside that I was. Even though you look in the mirror and you see all them other things and stuff, you knew that? Yeah. Oh, okay. Kind of like being saved, huh? Yeah, I met Jesus, and guess what? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I have a new spirit on the inside of me. And the Bible says I do. Why? Because I look at the things that I used to do, and I don't do them no more. And it's not because I'm old, because I know a lot of old people do stuff I used to do. They still doing it, okay? They got clubs for them. Club old man, they should call it. I mean, because they in there, okay? The bottom line is they still getting it. They still dancing and doing it and wearing they live. Some of them clothes they need to change. Now, you got to tell them that's from the old club. But they still wearing them, and people going to the club. So it ain't that. No, I met Jesus, and he changed me. And all of a sudden, I felt different, and I knew it wasn't the same, and I knew I was a different person. I know I'm saved. Wow, you don't look saved. Well, you don't look like no woman. And I don't care how you dress up like one. Well, look at me. Don't I look nice and clean now? I'm dressed up like a Christian. I mean, I think it's a wonderful time for us because we don't even need science no more. Hey, well, we don't need to prove God exists. We know he exists. Just like you know all that stuff you say you know. Good. Well, we'll see when we get there. I don't have time to waste on that. My imagination can't take me there. You know, I've tried. At one point, I remember when I used to want to be Batman. It always comes after you watch a movie. And I just knew if I could get the right gun, I could do something and propel myself up. But you know what? I ain't never tried that. Because for some reason, the way it happens down here, and the movies is different. You know, like Batman jump off the building and his little stuff come out, shoo, and he glide. I don't think it really works like that. And I've never really tried it. They have these suits online. You can buy them, bat wings. Go look it up. Get your pal. Go down to the state capitol if they let you go up there and see, test them out. But you see, for humans, it's easy for us to declare ourselves anything. And now that you've taken science off the table, I ain't interested in talking about nothing you got to say no more. I need to show the power of God. Because I'm telling you, no matter what, y'all don't let your imagination run wild, but no matter what, I'm telling you, no different than you can't fly off a building, there's certain body parts that don't produce babies. I'm going to stop talking about gender. There are certain body parts that will not produce babies. God made that so. You can't fly, and them body parts there do not produce babies. It doesn't matter what I think I am and what I can do. I ain't talking about that. A bird could say he a man if he could talk. But the reason he could fly is because he's a bird. That's why he fly, because he a bird. He could say whatever he want. I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. And the bird flying through the sky. He's a bird. Birds fly. Hey, y'all. I ain't got to screw down my imagination to imagine the bird is a man. I'm not doing that. He can't even talk. Well, I got bird speak. I listen to him and I know what he's saying. Stop it. Ephesians 10, look at what it says. These are what you up against, though. Look at what it says. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the tricks of the devil. For we ain't wrestling against flesh and blood. We wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. And look at the first thing he says. Stand having your loins girt about with truth. My goodness, is there some truth out here? I could stand up here all day long and say, I don't believe when you cut me. Then you come at me with a knife and see what I do. Let's see if I just stand there. Brother Lynch, I'm telling you, you cut me, I don't bleed. And he stand up and say, okay. And he got a knife about this long. The closer he get to me, we going to find out how much I believe I don't bleed when I cut. And then y'all going to know when he sliced across my hand. Look like blood, huh? I believe. See, I can say anything out of my mouth. That's why God says, y'all better know what the truth is. And the only way you're going to find the truth is you got to get in his word. You don't make it up out of your mind. In other words, you don't say, flesh and blood. Okay, I went to school and this is what I know. Don't matter what you went to school and know. The devil don't want to mess with that. You got to give him truth. You got to show him what God said and you know what God said. So you get locked down and screwed down to the floor so that you know by faith you believe what you believe. Why would you die over a particular issue unless you know it so? See, you got to know it so. You got to know Christ is who he declared to be. You got to know God is who he says he is. You got to know you saved. That way then ain't nobody going to take you off and move you from it, what salvation is. I'm not interested in no other religion. People say, well, you know, you got to open your mind. No, I don't. God didn't say open my mind. God told me to stand and have my loins girt about with some truth. That's what you better do. Instead of considering everything that come to you, stop doing that. He says, stop warring in the flesh. Stop arguing about all these different things. Know the truth and the truth will make you free. You get free, God says. And when you're free, then you know the truth. You warn against demons. And people are like, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the word. Back it up again. Let's look at what it say. Look at right here. Look at verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not talking to people. Well, this is my religion and you have yours. Okay. Good. Because I'm not going to debate with you. Now, why would I not debate? Let me read something to you. Well, I don't have time to try to go there. This is what it says in one place in 2 Timothy. The Bible says what you should do. Let me just get over here instead of just hollering it out at you. But we are not supposed to be arguing and debating with people over foolish questions. The Bible says that some questions are just foolish. And it tells us how to respond to the foolishness, okay? Because it also tells us what's going on. This is in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. I'm going to read it for you. It says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Now, did y'all hear that? In other words, somebody say to me, Pastor, somebody came to me yesterday and asked me, Now, you thinking to yourself when they asked you and saying, that's foolish. That don't even make no sense, you say to yourself. Now, that's what you're saying. Or they ask you saying something about religion, and you know they obviously have not learned. Because if they haven't learned, then people say they do. They say we are arrogant, we all that. I got it, but what do you want me to do? Think about it. Jesus came and declared to be the Messiah sent from God. And then he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, if I'm going to be a Christian, I have to go ahead and acknowledge that. If I'm not good, you do something else. But if I'm a Christian, I say, oh, sir, ma'am, I hear you. But I'm not going to argue with you. Why? Look at what the scripture tells me. God is talking to me as a Christian. Why I don't never get in fights? There are a lot of people I know who are doing all kind of things that we talk about. Yet still, they ain't got no problem with me. Most of them, if you meet, they say, oh, he's a great guy. You know why? Well, look, I follow the Bible. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Why do I avoid these, Lord? Because they gender strife. People get mad. You tell them something like that. They already done told you they don't believe in Jesus. You're going to try to explain to them why he the way. You all up in their face talking about you witnessing, and all you doing is creating more strife. They mad now. Well, Pastor, he got mad. Well, he's supposed to. Bible says if his question was foolish or unlearned and you responded to it instead of avoiding it, you should know what that does. It genders strife. And so what do I do, Lord? What should I do? Next verse. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Be apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose who? Y'all see that? Who they opposing? Who? They ain't opposing you. If you got the truth you claim, then they ain't opposing you. You trying to tell them the truth. They're opposing themselves, God says. And then look at what he goes on and says. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him, what? At his will. The devil walks around seeking whom he might devour. The Bible says the devil takes people captive at his will. People that don't know the truth and don't know anything, he can just, anytime he want to take them captive, he just step in and do it. And so the Bible says what we're supposed to be doing if we care. I said this to somebody the other day. I said, you take the worst person you know and somebody that done something to you, worst person. Would you be willing, and since we're in here now, would you be willing to tie them to that post right there, set them on fire, and know that they will never, ever, ever die? They'll continue to burn, and they'll just burn and scream in agony. They will feel every inch of that flame over all of their body. Forever and ever and ever. They will never, ever, ever burn up. They will never, ever, ever go away. Whoever did you something so bad that that's what you think ought to happen to them? If the answer is probably nobody, then that's what you're up against. God says that the truth is that Jesus has come to redeem mankind because we're condemned. That we were born in sin and God now has what? Man is condemned. When he dies, if he doesn't have a savior, if he doesn't have a way for his sins to be paid, God is saying that what? He's going to have to pay his own sin debt. Now, a lot of people always look and they say, well, I don't understand that. Okay, well, I mean, go out there and rob somebody right now and see what happens. They're going to arrest you if they can catch you, and they're going to want to charge you with something. And people say that's fair. Somebody took my stuff. Something happened. Somebody murdered somebody. They should pay the price. That's what men say, and it's correct. That's the way we rule and judge. But the reality is, Where you think we got that from? God is the one that said life for life, blood for blood, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The only reason he so-called changed, which he didn't, was that Jesus came to extend grace to everybody. Because if everybody knock out a tooth for every other tooth, we all toothless. And if we blind somebody, then blind, we all blind. So the bottom line is we've all done something to somebody. Even if we don't think we did, they do. Go ask them. Anybody got an ex-wife or ex-husband, go ask them. Their current spouse may be like, they're wonderful. It's the exes that we got the problem with us. So who right? My point is that everybody got somebody don't like them. You did something in their minds. Even if you were perfect, they think you did it. So the reality is that what? God's like, look, y'all put all that down. And understand that if I were to judge everyone the same, everybody going to hell. So I came and died for everybody. So if you can get these people to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, this ain't about you trying to compete with them over who gonna win the argument. This is not about you competing with them to prove your God is God. This is not what you competing with them to prove that a man ain't a man, a woman ain't a woman. That ain't got nothing to do with what God trying to do. God is trying to get people saved.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And so I got to make up my mind. So God says, look, when the time comes that you get what you think is foolish or unlearned question, I'm going to train you. This is what you do. Avoid it. Well, what do you think about flat earth? Man, ain't God good. God created a beautiful earth. Well, I think it's flat. Well, praise the Lord. Brother, pancakes are good when they flat. Ties ain't. So, you know, I don't know what to say about all of that. Even though I know that the Bible says in one place, God created a circle. He sits on the circle of the earth. I'm pretty sure that they went to space, but there are a lot of people who tell you they am. Okay, I'm cool. I ain't won't debate about that. I just want to make sure we going to heaven. Let's try to get in there with Jesus. So he said, look, avoid that question and pray that God, especially if it's a question that deals with salvation, pray that God will give them a spirit of repentance. You know, all of a sudden they're sitting at home and they think to themselves, well, why would a man die if there are multiple ways? That just doesn't make sense. If the Christians are teaching that he prayed and asked, Father, if there's any other way, let me not have to be crucified. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then he was crucified.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's the answer to the question. Now, again, I know how people may feel. Yes, but those are myths. Right. But for us as believers, we have to understand that's truth. So since that's the truth, it tells us that God could have told Jesus, son, I know you take this serious, and I really appreciate everything you're doing, just like he did with Abraham. Abraham lifted the knife, and God said, stop. I know that you love me now. Well, he could have done the same thing with Jesus. He could have said, son, you have proven your faithfulness. Now, every devil out here knows that you should rule. But no, he had to conquer death. He had to be obedient unto death so that when God put him in charge of everything, every demon, every principality, when Jesus stands up and says, I vouch for this one, I vouch for that one, the devil ain't got nothing on you because Jesus' blood is what's covering you. It ain't got nothing to do with what you did or didn't do or anything. Now, the last thing I want to do, though, and talk about this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and this is where we got to be really careful. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is what the Bible says. This is the most interesting one. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 13. It says this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So now God is telling me it is very possible that y'all could be looking at a minister of Satan. How you know I'm not? You're supposed to be able to know. And the Bible says there's a way for you to know. And I think that if you look, at what goes on in many places as teaching, and I ain't getting down on nobody. We're going to talk about teaching right now. We ain't talking about nobody. I want you to think about teaching, and I want you to think about if you know the truth and you're going to see certain things in Scripture. I don't have time to go through them all. We'll do that as we go later. But today, I just want to point out something to you. I have five areas I'm going to put up there that appeal to your flesh, but God, they don't work in the gospel. Human goodness and works, ego and self-esteem, personal development and growth, self-improvement and correction, mind and will control. Now, you can leave those up and take them off TV there, but you can leave them up in here in the sanctuary. Now, I want y'all to think about what you're looking at. If you come here, the Bible says, do not allow the devil to do to you what he did to Eve, and then what? Trick you from the simplicity that is in Christ. For in him, the fullness of the Godhead exists. Everything you need is in Jesus. Every single thing. So now if I come to you and I say, oh, you know what? I went to church today and Pastor taught a real good sermon on the goodness of human beings and how we need to do things, good things, to get into heaven. Well, Pastor lied to you today because the Bible says that humans ain't good. They're not. When all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all need a Savior. We ain't good. Now, we good when in comparison to one another. You know, I can go compare myself to somebody that did something and I can say, well, I'm better than them. But in God's measuring stick, ain't nobody better than nobody else. All humans have sinned and all humans need a Savior. That's God's word, and our works don't work. The first doctrine of Christ is repentance toward God and faith toward him and repentance from dead works. To know that what? It don't matter how many homeless shelters you build, no matter how many homeless people you feed, no matter how many hospitals you go to, God will not count that toward your sin debt. Now, if you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I agree with that. Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Let's say you go to the bank. And you get to the bank, and you know you owe the bank money, and you're going to pay them off. Then I ask you, how much you owe them? You say, well, I don't know. I say, well, how you going to pay them off? Well, I got quite a bit of money, but how do you know you got enough? What if you get there, and you don't have enough money to pay them off? What, you going to sing a dance? What, you going to sing, dance? What you going to do? What is your plan to pay the deficit? Well, I think I got enough. Based on what? How you know? Did the bank tell you? Did they send you a note? Did they do something? Well, let me tell you what the banker in heaven said. The banker in heaven said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your righteousness and your works are as filthy rags to me. Don't bring them to me because they ain't going to work. You done been notified. So you got your notice. Now how you going to pay? For all have sinned and fallen short. If a man confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. So the truth is, God says, look, my son will take care of your sin debt. Now you need to go work. Go do some stuff. You should, because you're saved. And you're just happy that you're saved. That's why you do good stuff. Not because you're doing it to get saved. You're doing it because you're saved. You're so happy that you're going to heaven, you'll do anything. Just tell me what you want me to do, God. You don't go to heaven telling them, look what I did, God let me in. You're going to get sat down. So if that church or that place or that religion is teaching anything about you being good or you need some works, sit down. Next, ego and self-esteem. Now, people love them churches. Ego is all about self-importance. See, some people are more important than they really are to themselves. Yeah, if you talk to them, look. Ain't nobody walk the planet like them. They just know. It's just ready for the rest of the world. Got to recognize it. And as soon as they do, woo, y'all going to know. Self-esteem. All this is about you. You need to understand. You have gifts, brother. God loves you. And he died for you so that you could exercise those gifts and you could benefit yourself all in the planet. That's why Jesus died. Jesus wants you to experience a great life. You got to stop thinking so below yourself. Come up here somewhere. Yeah, you better come up. It's all right. Come up and bow down before that throne. God ain't concerned about your ego. He ain't concerned about nothing. Now, some of y'all, your ego's so low. Your mama talked about you all your life. Boy, you ain't going to be able to do nothing. Even the dog run faster than you. How you going to do whatever? And in your mind, you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. You ain't never going to be nothing. You don't believe in yourself. You don't anything. Well, you don't need me to come to church and tell you how good you are to get you to start forgetting what your mama said. You need me to come and tell you it don't matter about none of that. Even if your mama was right, Jesus don't care. He's excited the fact that you have asked him to come into your heart and that now you are saved. Because in Christ, you are complete. People say, well, what you going to do? You need a degree. I don't need no degree. I got Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't getting down on degrees. Go get you one if you want one. But what I'm telling you is just because you got one and I don't make you no better than me. I got Jesus. See, but people don't see it that way because they're too busy comparing themselves and they go to these places where people building on their self-esteem and their ego. I'm trying to bring you up to a place where you can feel better about yourself. No, you need to feel bad. You need to know you a sinner. You need to know you're going to hell. But you also need to know, thank God for Jesus. And I don't have to do nothing. It's a free gift. Man, you know, when you talk to some kids, do you know they say that children, the one person they really want to please, even though their parents don't believe it, is their parents? Yeah, their parents really don't believe it now most of the time, the way the kids be acting. But they say it's really a reaction to the fact that the kid can't get what they want from their parent, so they tend to sometimes rebel. But the truth is that all kids, they say really deep down, want the love and respect of their own parents. That's what they want. They'll do anything to get that. So when you hear certain things coming from there, but I can't sit here and come tell you, now, Dad, Jesus, God is your father. And he ain't like your daddy. And some kind of way I'm going to convince you God is such a good daddy that now you're going to come to God and I build your self-esteem. I need to tell you, yes, God is your father. But he'll beat you worse than your daddy did if you don't get it right. Now, you need to understand that. I don't want to play with you. I don't want to pretend you can just walk out of here and go do whatever you want to do because God loves you so much. He do love you, but God will beat the hell out of you. God is the one who said, don't spare the rod. I don't care how much they cry. He said, I look, God know when you look at you crying. He's like, that ain't real. Them ain't real tears. Dry it up. And he keep on bringing it. Why? Because he knows that hell is bound in the heart of a child, the Bible say. But the rod will drive it out. I'm telling you, I done caught enough hell in life. I try to stay across the street from hell. If it looked like that line going somewhere close to hell, I like to stay way over here. I done caught enough in my life to know, stay away from hell. If it smell like hell, stay away. If it look like hell, stay away. If it smell, touch, anything like hell, stay away. Because God is not pleased with us playing around with hell. Personal development and growth. So you come here and pastor can tell you how to develop yourself. Think about it. That'd be a great sermon, right? You don't never hear about sin. You don't never hear about how you got to go change your life. You never hear about going and study the Bible, except a few scriptures that help you visualize how you're going to grow your business, how you're going to grow your mind, how you're going to grow your life. Growth in God. Everything is about promoting you, developing yourself. Jesus died on a cross, you know, so you could develop yourself. Right. Be careful. Self-improvement. We're going to have a class on how to get it together, you know. All this stuff about how to improve yourself. You know, your image. You know, I mean, God's concerned about your image. You know that, right? When you go in for an interview, you want to know why the people didn't accept you? Look at how you dress. You got to get business-like. Don't you understand when Jesus went before the Pharisees, the Bible says that he had a seamless robe. That's the reason why they had to gamble over it, because they didn't want to tear it. Do you know that rich people were the only people that had seamless robes? All to lead me to why it's okay for me to come up here with a suit on that costs more than some people's car. Yeah, they got some, you know. Yeah. All them shoes. Y'all know them shoes. I done mentioned them before now. With them bottom, with them red bottom on them. Some of them shoes cost more than a set of ties some people got to get. But you know what? You say, I want to be like Pastor. Look at that image he projects. This is why God listens to his prayers. He gets on his knees and puts them backs up. And God said, that boy using his faith. I'm going to continue to bless his life. Mind and will control. You know, the mind is important now, y'all. And so is our will. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But I can't spend all my time getting you to think that what's going on in your mind is all that matters. But if I spend all my time on mind and your will and these different things, again, I'm taking the point away from Christ. You see, most people, some will say, well, I don't even know how you could keep preaching every Sunday and all you're going to preach about is Jesus. Now, listen at how silly that sounds if you think about it. Where would you think that would come from? You got all week to go out and watch YouTube 24 hours a day if you want to. You ain't never got to turn the TV on think you're going to ever hear about Jesus unless you go to try to find him on some channel. So you come to church once a week and you hear about Jesus. And people say, why do you think every Sunday you can preach about Jesus? You mean the one day out of the week that people come to be reminded of who they really are in Christ, I'm supposed to waste it talking about self-improvement, talking about their ego, talking about their self-esteem, talking about when you went to work and they ain't treat you right? Why y'all don't stand up? You got victory in Christ. Instead of saying, look, you're complete in Jesus. I don't know why, just like Sister Miranda said, I wouldn't give a flip what nobody thought about what I was picking up. Because the bottom line is, you're complete in Christ. When they saw you picking up them staples, they saw Jesus. They didn't realize maybe that's what they saw, because maybe they at the self-improvement church. You know, the self-improvement church tells you don't put yourself in positions where, you know, people might think lowly of you. You got to walk in authority. You're a child of God. Don't be walking around like a paper clip picker-upper. What's wrong with you? Sit over there like a lawyer like you are. Get your chest up. Show yourself. Do your thing. Be ready. Show them what God did with your life. Your mama, like you say, testify, girl. My mama was a housekeeper. But look at me. Yeah, look at you. Sound like you're full of yourself to me, if that's what you're talking about. My mama was a housekeeper, but look at me. Yeah, look at you. Full of yourself and missing Christ. Instead of understanding that what God says, the greatest amongst you will be your servant. This is what Jesus said. This is what he said. This is why when I pass by the church, I pull up and trash everywhere. I go get me some of them little blue gloves and go get the picnic up. I ain't getting on the phone. Look, is somebody y'all going to pass by here and get this trash? I've had people literally say that to me. You need to get some of your members to pick that up. Well, they do when they're around. But you wasn't supposed to call them. Hey, man, they got some trash out here. I want y'all to get over here and get this. I need to get inside. You know, the scripture does say that we should not give ourselves to other things in the study of the word. Man, get out there and pick them chicken bones up. Because sometimes they throw them out there with the sauce. And there be ants all over them and everything. I'm going to need you to get that. Get you some gloves, get some spray. Spray that, pick it up, Pastor. It's going to be all right. Self-improvement, all these things. Folks, Christ. Remember, you are in a faith war all the time. Always watch what's coming into your ears and your mind. And you'll know when you're battling the devil. Because he's always trying to take the attention off of Jesus. Because he knows if you keep Jesus as the center of your focus in your life, he can't knock you off. And you are going to win every single battle. You know, there's one thing that was said, and I'm going to close with this. There was a Chinese war general. And he used to say something that I thought was very interesting as it related to this area of our life. He said, if a man knows himself and knows his enemy, he need not fear 1,000 battles. You think about that. If a man knows himself and knows his enemy, you need not fear 1,000 battles. It don't matter how many times the devil come up against you. If you know yourself and you know him, he can't never beat you. Because you know your propensities. You know your problem areas. And you know he's a trickster. And so since you know all that, he shouldn't be defeating any of us. So we gain our knowledge of him. Because you already know a whole lot about yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father,